Thank you, Len. Can everybody hear me okay? Just a mic check here. Thanks. Well, welcome everyone to this Sunday gathering here in Awakening Together, July 10th. Good to see everybody here. And welcome to all those that are listening in on the radio. So let's take a few minutes as we greet each other here and say hi as we would in a church gathering with a warm welcome and love extended. And I'll turn the mic over to Lynn for our opening awakening song, and I'll take the mic back when that's finished.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here. Melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Hello again. So we're moving on to the part of our service where we describe the statement of purpose. We are an awakening of we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And now is the point where I pick a specific core value of the five core values that we have here at Awakening Together, and I'm going to pick the third core value, which is we accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. And Barb has written that on the board. Thank you, Barb. So, welcome all. I've got some announcements here this morning that I'd like to read. Tonight does begin a new 8-week Common Ground guest teacher mini-series. This time the teacher is Carrie Triffitt, the author of The Enlightenment Project, Long Time No See, and Tastes Like God. Her mini-series is titled Living in Mastery. And so here is the course description. Living in mastery is a proactive decision starting from this moment. No need to wait for enlightenment to happen to you first. This course will offer some simple forms of practice for stepping into this choice right now to help you gain firsthand experience and confidence in this process. Carrie says that her life was forever changed in 1986 by the sudden appearance of a mysterious inner voice, which introduced itself with the intriguing statement, "Long time no see." And just doing a sound check here, can everyone still hear me? Okay, good. And so after this voice that said, "Long time no see," this divine guide led her into 20-year practice of Buddhism. And then in 2005, a series of profound shifts very quickly changed everything. And over the next decade, the voice led to an intensive practice of A Course in Miracles, as well as other subsequent teachings. She also says that this magnificent inner guide finally led her, a stubbornly single-minded spiritual seeker, to the end of seeking. So join us tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for the first session of Carrie's 8-week mini-series, Living in Mastery. That should be really good. It's interesting that I was drawn to read from The Course in Miracles today. Very interesting timing there. Sonia will be reading our reader this morning. And so again, that's 9 p.m. Eastern. That would be 8 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Mountain, and 6 p.m. Pacific time. Now, the MPP program is a very popular curriculum that has attracted, several people to Awakening Together from various other places. Those that have completed the program have claimed increased clarity as a result of the program. And there's a lot that have really liked it so much they want to take it again. So the MPP program is designed to help you rely on your own inner spiritual wisdom, to recognize universal truth in all of the teachings, which has always been really dear to me in my spiritual path, embrace natural, wakeful spiritual practice with ease, so that means it's not a matter of trying to force yourself to do spiritual practice, and realize unswerving clarity and discernment, which is truly listening to the voice for God, truly listening to that inner guide. Those who have completed the program will tell you what MPP accomplishes, that MPP accomplishes the objectives it sets out to accomplish, and I for one, can for sure attest to that. I've been through the program twice, once as a participant and once almost completely as a facilitator. So it's a really awesome program, and I can't speak highly enough about it. So we only offer this once or twice per year, and it's beginning again this August. So now is a really good time to get started if you want. And there's a free two-hour class called Introduction to MPP. The purpose of this class is to kind of help you make a decision if you want to commit to the two-year program or not. It is a big commitment. It's not a two-month program or 1 year. It's a two-year program, so it's definitely intensive. And that's really what it takes, is commitment. I mean, that's really what it draws to itself, is people that really want to go deeper. If you're interested, or you might be interested, you can register for this in the Awakening Together website. You can click on Register Now to start the Ministerial Preparation Program right on the website under Classes. And for this particular round of MPP, they're going to be offered on Thursday evenings from 8 to 10 p.m., which is 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific. And that is the time frame for the entire two-year curriculum. It starts in August. So if that works for you, register now. A little announcement about the fall retreat coming up in October in Colorado Springs. This is our big annual opportunity to get together after we've spent all this time joining on the internet. It's not only time to form those really, strong personal bonds and relationships and friendships that we have, but, to deepen your practice and willingness. And that's the key, is the willingness. We have three separate retreats right in a row, kind of like we have in the past, and you can register for one, two, or all three. We do have scholarships available, and I'm actually the scholarship chair for that, so you'll see on the website there's a link you can go to if you want to apply. We really want everyone to be there, so this is our time to be together. Our retreat leaders are going to be Regina, Don Akers, Brent Haskell, and John Mark Stroud. And again, you'll find the full details under the website under events. So let's go ahead and move on to our prayer. And I'm just going to lead us in a Holy Spirit-guided prayer here. I don't have it written down. It'll be spontaneous for me. Taking a deep breath. Dear God, we are grateful for the presence of our united willingness to truly awaken, to hear your voice, to see love and equality in all things that we experience, and to ever let our decisions be guided by that which will help us awaken and that which we feel aligned with. And we know and pray that this guidance never runs out, it never stops. And this guidance is within each of us, guiding us individually to awakening. Amen. Okay, so here we are with an inspirational reading by a member, and this is a two-pager lesson. This is lesson 181, Course in Miracles. I trust my brothers who are one with me. And this came up in a long talk session in the room the other day, and I just said, hey, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and use this as the topic for the sermon. Just this morning, Sonia has agreed to step up and be the reader, so I am going to turn the mic over to you, Ms. Sonia.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Yay! Good morning. What a great lesson this is for this morning, too. The best lesson for the spontaneous ones. Lesson 181, I trust my brothers who are one with me. Trusting your brothers is essential to establishing and holding up your faith in your ability to transcend a doubt, to transcend doubt and lack of sure conviction in yourself. When you attack a brother, you proclaim that he is limited by what you have perceived in him. You do not look beyond his errors. Rather, they are magnified, becoming blocks to your awareness of the self that lies beyond your own mistakes and past his seeming sins as well as yours. Perception has a focus. It is this that gives consistency to what you see. Change but this focus, and what you behold will change accordingly. Your vision now will shift to give support to the intent which has replaced the one you held before. Remove your focus on your brother's sins, and you experience the peace that comes from faith in sinlessness. This faith receives its only sure support from what you see in others past their sins. For their mistakes, if focused on, are witnesses to sins in you. And you will not transcend their sight and see the sinlessness that lies beyond. Therefore, in practicing today, we first let all such little focuses give way to our great need to let our sinlessness become apparent. We instruct our minds that it is this we seek, and only this, for just a little while. We do not care about our future goals, and what we saw an instant previous was no concern for us within this interval of time wherein we practice changing our intent. We seek for innocence and nothing else. We seek for it with no concern, but now. A major hazard to success has been involvement with your past and future goals. You have been quite preoccupied with how extremely different the goals this course is advocating are from those you held before. And you have also been dismayed by the depressing and restricting thoughts that even if you should succeed, you will inevitably lose your way again. How could this matter? For the past is gone, the future but imagined. These concerns are but defenses against present change of focus in perception. Nothing more. We lay these pointless limitations by a little while. We do not look to past beliefs, and what we will believe will not intrude upon us now. We enter in the time of practicing with one intent, to look upon the sinlessness within. We recognize that we have lost this goal if anger blocks our way in any form, and if a brother's sins occur to us, our narrowed focus will restrict our sight and turn our eyes upon our own mistakes, which we will magnify and call our sins. So for a little while, without regard to past or future, should such blocks arise, we will transcend them with instructions to our minds to change their focus. As we say, it is not this that I would look upon. I trust my brothers who are one with me. And we will also use this thought to keep us safe throughout the day. We do not seek for long-range goals. As each obstruction seems to block the vision of our sinlessness, we seek but for surcease, an instant, from the misery the focus upon sin will bring, and uncorrected will remain. Nor do we ask for fantasies, for what we seek to look upon is really there. And as our focus goes beyond mistakes, we will behold a wholly sinless world. When seeing this is all we want to see, when this is all we seek for in the name of true perception, are the eyes of Christ inevitably ours? And the love he feels for us becomes our own as well. This will become the only thing we see reflected in the world and in ourselves. The world which once proclaimed our sins becomes the proof that we are sinless. And our love for everyone we look upon attests to our remembrance of the holy self, which knows no sin and never could conceive of anything without its sinlessness. We seek for this remembrance as we turn our minds to practicing today. We look neither ahead nor backwards. We look straight into the present, and we give our trust to the experience we ask for now. Our sinlessness is but the will of God. This instant is our willing one with His. Amen. Thank you all.
Thank you, Sonia. That was a beautiful reading. And yeah, this lesson has so much to it, really. It has so many different basic practices of what the Course in Miracles teach, as well as other Holy Scriptures, too. Because it is, we see our people around us, right, as who populate our world. If we have a feeling of mistrust towards them, that's based in the thought that I can be hurt. I can be, I am fallible. I am a potential victim to them in some way, or whatever the thought is. It's based in fear, right? In some kind of way. So the act of trusting other people, the ego mind will say, is an act of naivete, or what's that word I'm looking for? I forget what the word is, but it's like a slang for somebody who, doesn't want to, it has too much trust and faith, like in a seeming excessive way. But I really feel like what this is teaching is listening to that voice within is what's most important. And when I do that, I don't have the doubt, right? It always guides me surely. And anything other than stating and expressing our love and extending love, I believe, and I may be mistaken, but I think that is what the Course defines as an attack. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. What the actual definition in, as the Course formally teaches it, what's defined as an attack. Anything other than love. I think it's something close to that. And of course, the entire point of this teaching, over and over again, is to look beyond the form to see the face of Christ in people, in your brother, as it's referred to in the Course always, in everyone else you see around in your life. Now, of course, the times that we find that difficult to do are the quote-unquote sins or mistakes that we see occurring according to our unique viewpoint or perception that have occurred. And whatever, and it's an important point is made in paragraph 2 where it talks about all of our perception at any given time has a focus. Right? So at any given time, it shifts and it moves, right? And there's a Buddhist teaching in the heart of the Buddhist teachings by Thich Nhat Hanh, which is paragraph, it's actually the third aggregate perception. This is on page 178. And it teaches about perceptions. In us, there is a river of perceptions. Perceptions arise, stay for a period of time, then cease to be. The aggregate of perception includes noticing, naming, and conceptualizing, as well as the perceiver and the perceived. When we perceive, we often distort, which brings about many painful feelings. Our perceptions are often erroneous, and we suffer. It is very helpful to look deeply into the nature of our own perceptions without being too sure of anything. When we are too sure, we suffer. And to me, that's like wanting to be right. That's what always brings us to suffering. Absolutely, 100% of the time. Am I sure is a very, very good question. If I ask this, we'll have a good chance to look again and see if our perception is incorrect. The perceiver and the perceived are inseparable. When the perceiver perceives wrongly, the things perceived are also incorrect. And that's like the thought, it's like a legal term, fruit of the poisonous tree. So if somebody has an incorrect perception, everything that they then speak of and talk about and see from that point forward is jaded or incorrect. And the original perception has to be corrected first for the other following perceptions to be correct, which makes perfect sense. A man was rowing his boat upstream when, and this is a story the section goes into, a man was rowing his boat upstream. When suddenly he saw another boat coming towards him, he shouted, "Be careful, be careful!" But the boat plowed right into him, nearly sinking the boat. The man became angry and began to shout, "How dare you?" But when he looked closely, he saw that there was no one in the other boat. The boat had simply drifted downstream by itself. He laughed out loud. When our perceptions are incorrect, we feel better. But when our perceptions are not correct, they cause us a lot of unpleasant feelings. We have to look deeply into things so we will not be led into suffering and difficult feelings. Perceptions are very important for our well-being. Our perceptions are continued by the many afflictions that are present within us. Ignorance, craving, hatred, anger, jealousy, fear, habit energies, etc. We perceive phenomena on the basis of our lack of insight into the nature of impermanence and interbeing. Practicing mindfulness, concentration, and deep looking, we can discover the errors of our perceptions and free ourselves from fear and clinging. All suffering is born from wrong perceptions. All suffering is born from wrong perceptions. I'm going to type that on the board. All suffering is born from wrong perceptions. Understanding the fruit of meditation, we can dissolve our wrong perceptions and liberate us. We have to be alert always and never seek refuge in our perceptions. The Diamond Sutra reminds us, quote, "When there is perception, there is deception." We should be able to substitute perception with prajna, true vision, true knowledge. So we could reverse that and say, when there is true sight, there is clarity, and we see truth. And that's what I practice whenever I enter into a place of feeling like something that I'm involved with or seemingly, quote-unquote, engaged in with other brothers, that I start to get carried down this this ego train of wrong perceptions, just tangled web. Sonia and I were talking about untangling the tangled web, which is something that came up in an MPP class recently, that Sonia's gotten a lot of benefit out of untangling. But as soon as that tangling occurs, this story is reminding us that we have based our experiences in wrong perception, and that it is time to let those wrong perceptions go, to exit the suffering and return to a state of peace, to let that true clarity return. And so, flipping back to the Course in Miracles, it describes as remove your focus on your brother's sins, which are the mistakes that we think they made. And in the story, it's talking about the mistake that the one guy in the boat was thinking that the other guy in the boat was so irresponsible with his boat that he was just letting it wander down the river and crash into his boat and that he didn't even see him. And so he was focused on that brother's sin. And so it would be natural to think that that guy then taking his boat into the river other days is going to then in the future, if he didn't ever correct that perception, he would always be doubting whether or not those people are going to crash into him in the future, right? They would add a fear to his thinking every time he went out on the river again. And this is where the next part comes in about letting go of the care and concern about our future goals. Is that guy, that fisherman on the boat, has to practice this. He has to let go of the attachment that he'll ever catch these fish again, that he'll ever necessarily be able to do that. He has to live in the moment and release the attachment from the expectation that this is going to occur. Because if he does, then he'll be at the whim of what other people and these boats are doing or not doing and then proceed to suffer. And that's what it talks about here in paragraph 4. And I'm reading from the original edition. This is the Course in Miracles Society original edition. Paragraph 4, this is page 286 in the workbook. I happened to grab this one off the shelf. You know, and this is really the idea about, you know, our preoccupation with you know, everything we think we want to do, everything we did and didn't do in the past. I mean, it's kind of like bringing you towards the Mr. Magoo moment where you got to just be in the moment and let go of the past completely and concerned about what will happen in the future to truly, you know, it's the cliche of living in the now. That's what this is suggesting. And it, you know, it's funny, it says here, you have been dismayed by the depressing and restricting thought that even if you should succeed, you will inevitably lose your way again. Well, I think we all have on the spiritual path had moments of angst where we wonder if it's ever going what we're doing, why we're doing this, why we're spending time, where we're wasting our time. You know, it's so impossible to succeed. Why do it? I mean, this is what comes up. This is the Armageddon play that the ego always pulls on us. And it's the Course is just gently reminding us here in this lesson, hey, you know, how could this matter? The past is gone. The future is imagined. You have to live in the now. You have to be present. You have to be present. And it describes these concerns as defenses against present change of focus in perception. So the river is compared to perception, which is always changing, moving up and down, floating, bobbing, weaving, etc. You know, Michael, Michael, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream, right? That's the direction that we're being guided to here in Lesson 181. And again, gently, we're reminded, hey, let's just set this aside for a minute, okay? And the things that do come up, that do rock your boat, that are other boats that come and smash into your boat, yeah, and I'm being reminded that they're two different songs. Thank you. That is probably correct. You know, let's just look at this a minute, because what it is that we find that blocks our way in every case is you know, when we have anger towards a brother. I mean, that's going to block our way every single time. And we have anger because that's what the fisherman had towards the other boat that didn't even have a driver. But he let go of his anger when he realized he was mistaken in his perception. Now, it can be not so easy when other people will agree with you and support your righteous anger, right? And try to keep you in that space rather than letting it go, right? So that's where it's important to be careful what voice you listen to, and listen to only the voice for truth so it will guide you truly. Otherwise, you'll wind back up in the tangled web, and you will not be free from the anger or the ego's hold upon your perception, and your perception will not be corrected as the Course describes it. You'll stay stuck. So, again, we cannot focus on that. We have to let it go, just as the guy who was flowing his boat down the river was just laughing, and he let it go and realized that it was who knows whose fault specifically. But again, when we have others that may bolster our false perception, it becomes a little, you know, it becomes more difficult to let go, because we do see real sin in a brother. We do see error and mistake. And that's when you have to let go of the core idea that's behind what it is that you're attached to. That's when you have to let go of the core idea behind what you're attached to. Because you can find plenty of people that will agree with you that person X had sinned, had made a mistake, had done something wrong, and should be punished, etc., etc. And people's definitions for sin and punishment are, of course, very different. I mean, what one person sees as a mistake, another person may not see as a mistake. I mean, that's what, this is all based on individual perception. You know, it varies widely between people. So there's no agreement as to what exactly is a sin or not. This is a relative thing, relative to the ego mind of each individual. And so that's what this is teaching us, because no two ego minds are ever actually the same. And that's the key to remember. So, you know, the lesson being that we will practice this, and we talk about safety, the keeping us safe. When we feel safe, we're not touched by a disturbance of the mind. We're not touched by upset or anger or jealousy or any of that. We're not touched by that. We're just not touched by it. We stay in peace. We stay centered in the presence of God, untangled. And in fact, the tangledness pops out piece by piece, like if you untangle a ball of rubber bands and you pull one out and it pops out, right? That is an untanglement. And Regina wrote on the board, each person's perception is 1 out of 7.5 billion. Yep, that's the truth. And again, the things we're attached to are the things that we find the most difficult to let go of, to be free of that. One of the practices in the MPP that I really like is root cause analysis, because it helps you to get down to the root of what it is that's, sort of stuck at the core of your mind, stuck in the core. And to let it go. And so if you do find yourself stuck, mad at the guy that bumped in your boat, it's really important to get free of that. You have to go deeper and do the root cause analysis work to then identify and go, aha, that's what it is in me, out of my unique 1 out of 7.5 billion egos, that in my particular case is causing me the block right now. And that is the thing that you have to practice, one way or another. And so instead of seeing these mistakes that other people are doing as proof that we should be upset, we're asked to use them as proof that in fact they're innocent, because it's all based and guided on false perception. False perception. And then we are free to let the love flow through us to everyone. Then we're free to remember the Holy Self and to see each brother as sinless. And ultimately get to the point where we can see, hey, no sin occurred. We laugh just like the guy that had the other boat with no man in it smashing down. And it just, he laughs. There's no sin. It's okay. We move forward. We look at the present. We let go of that concern about what's going to happen in the future. We let go. And we let ourselves be in the present. So we can have that trust, that feeling of safety and the peace that we do deserve in that ever-flowing river of perceptions that we allow to just be what it is. And let the untangling occur. So thank you for listening, and that concludes my message for the morning. So I'm going to open it up now to an open meditation, and Barb is going to put a link on the board if you want to donate to Awakening Together. We do operate off of your donations, and so whenever Barb gets to that, she can post that. And I'll turn the mic over to Lynn here so we can be at peace and contemplate the teachings and the truth that we received today and let it sink in. So going to you, Lynn, for meditation. Oh, thank you, Lynn. That was a beautiful song. You've always picked the right songs. So, time for the service now. Here it's 10 o'clock for a little while, I guess, till the end of the half hour. Open the mic up to sharing and see what people have to share or say. I've also got an interesting announcement. I've just been accepted to go to Aham Meditation Center, the 29th to the 31st, and granted a direct meeting with V Ganeshan for an hour at 5:15 p.m. on Saturday, July 30th. So I'll be with him for a while in the afternoon on Saturday, And the only instructions I received were just to be. So I look forward to being in the presence of him and meeting him. So that should be really amazing. And also seeing the AHA Meditation Center itself. I know Regina has gone there, and so that should be interesting to see where that leads. I trust that all is in perfect order with that. I feel very honored that that I'm getting the opportunity to do that. So it's going to be cool. And so opening up the mic, if anybody wants to share, please raise your hand, and I'll turn the mic over to you. Usually 181 brings up a lot of things for people, so if you do have something that came up, you're welcome to share it. So, Gloria, turning the mic to you. Morning, Glory.
Good morning, beautiful hearts. Can you hear my voice okay this morning? Perfect. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for the reading, Sonia, today. Thank you, Jay, for your sharing today. And thank you to everybody for being here today. A couple of things came up for me during contemplation. Mostly what I have been contemplating myself is a lot the lesson that I shared last week. As for those of you who heard the message from last week, it was about focusing in the heart. I also shared last week that I was traveling, and what I didn't share was that there was a lot of resistance initially for me to deliver that message because I would be traveling that week. But I did check on the logistics to make sure everything was going to be in order for me there, and it was, for the most part. So I proceeded with that, with showing up despite the fact that I was traveling, because I had a very, very clear and distinct knowing that that message should be delivered. And after the events that unfolded the week following that, this past week, it became abundantly clear to me why not only was I being guided to focus in the heart, but why I was strongly guided to bring the message forward pertaining to the heart, despite the fact that I would be traveling that weekend. So, as I also, and there's a couple of points that Jay made during his discussion today, so as I was contemplating, and I could clearly make the connection to the events and what was happening, it was for me, we discussed perceptions today. There were certain things that I knew to do in terms of monitoring my own perceptions, using the practices that I know to use, such as the heart-based, the heart-focused practice that I shared last week, putting the hand on the heart and breathing through the heart, meditating, doing the things that I know will keep me in a place of non-judgment, love, and unity. The suffering for me, the only area that I particularly experienced any suffering in, was in seeing my beloveds not know these things, not know that love is all there is, and the inability to translate that to the people that I love and have been deeply impacted by the events that they have, that we have all witnessed. I mean, the technology today is not that we're just reading things in newspapers. I mean, we are being hit with visual images of what is happening in the world. So that's where I had to add additional, you know, that required some additional support. One of the things that Jay said during his teaching today is that when we feel safe, we are untouched by perceptions. We are unmoved. We're able to stay in a place of love, a place of acceptance, a place of openness. But the key word there is safe. So my whole thing, what I've continued to do with the people that I love, the information that I've shared, I've had people contact me directly, and I know that what they're looking for is somehow, we're all empathic. I believe that because we're all connected. We're all empathic beings. I have a higher level, and I'm aware of that, of empathy, where I'm feeling what other people are feeling. I have to constantly hold up or keep a shield up, if you will, so that I'm not overly bombarded by by what other people are feeling around me. But during this time, it was very hard for me not to feel the collective pressures and feelings of the people that are closest to me. So I think I said all of that to say that I honestly recognize that love is whole, love is complete. The proverb that I shared last week about guarding your heart, that I shared just before closing my sharing, to guard your heart because everything that you do will flow from that heart, was a powerful statement, one that has replayed in my head over and over again. And I do not take credit for having shared that information. I know that I am a vessel that Holy Spirit is continuing to use in a way, and I have deep gratitude for the way that I am, that, because when I look back on things like that, I know that it's not me, it's not Gloria that is bringing that information forward. You know, I had no conscious knowledge of anything, a need for that type of discussion, but it came forward. So I'm grateful for that. And I just wanted to get on once again to remind everyone to stay focused in the heart. That is where my focus will remain. That is where I continue to share with the people that I love. That is where their focus should remain. So I think that's all I wanted to say. Love to you all, because love is always loving us. And I'll let go of the mic.
Thank you, Gloria. I was on vacation, on a family vacation, where I could not listen on the phone last week. So unlike Regina, I missed while I was on vacation, so I missed your message, but I can tell you that it echoed throughout my world. And thank you, Jay. This was the perfect lesson for today, because I did forget, and there were miscreations that happened when I forgot. But when you don't forget, when you look inside, when you continue to look inside, and Regina said, we're in the eye of the storm, and this is our job. This is our job. It is not our job to have opinions. It is not our job to solve anything. It is our job to be the love, to be the heart. And when we remember that job, we don't suffer. But when we forget, we do suffer. And so thank you for that. And I'm sorry that I missed you, Gloria, last Sunday, but I hope to hear you echo throughout the One Ship. And I will tell you that yesterday in my community, I ran out to do some errands, and I've forgotten everything. I just forgot. And when I got to the first place, it was a grocery store, and I will tell you, every single person turned to look me in the eye and say, good morning. And at first I just said good morning and started to hurry on, and then I remembered, this is not about forgetting. This is when we look each other in the eye and we acknowledge the love that we have for each other in our community. And I can tell you, person after person after person after person locked eyes with me and with great intent said, good morning. And I stopped and said, good morning. It's almost as if we were in church this morning saying hello to each other. We wanted to affirm our love for one another. And last but not least, I wanted to share that when I woke up this morning, I knew nothing. It was just another day, and Holy Spirit and I were going through our to-do list for the day, and there was this wonderful, great gratitude. There was a huge gratitude. There are several things that have happened in my life in the past couple of weeks that I had. There were problems that were long-term problems that got solved, and I won't bore you with them. Some were really minuscule. But Holy Spirit showed me all of the things that had been, that I considered solved, the problems that had been solved, and said, if you can trust me with these, can't you trust me with it all? If you can trust me with the little problems in the illusion, can you not trust me with everything? And know that this too is being healed. And so I want to leave you with that. Today really is a day of gratitude that we are together, that we are healing, and that we can have complete and total faith. And thank you for being the peace, in the storm.
That was beautiful. Thank you, Sonia. I felt your sincerity, and I always love to hear your voice. And thank you, Gloria, for those wonderful reminders of love and the importance of our focus. Because that really was the whole lesson today, is our perception, and what is our perception focused on? And when we remove the focus from it, we can open up a crack in our mind to let that truth come in. Is there anyone else that would like to share on something that came up for them they would like to bring up for the gathering this morning? Okay, Lynn, turning the mic over to you.
Thank you so much, Jay. Thank you, Sonia, Gloria, Teddy. Hi, welcome. It's good to see you on Sunday morning. and Mark, if you're still here, it's wonderful to see you again. Lovely to have you all here. And, this lesson, as you probably all well know and I've said many times, is my very favorite lesson of A Course in Miracles. And the reason that it is so important to me is because... this is the crux of Jesus' entire teaching, is that our brother and ourselves, we are the same thing. And this ego that is so, prevalent or confusing, it's something that is really just a way of not seeing the truth about who my brother is. And so if I look at my brother and I say, oh, you know, I don't like you because you are different from me. Well, that's going to be, I think Regina said, you know, over 7 billion. And that just only includes human form. That doesn't include everything else that's a part of the sonship, which is all things, everything. So that includes the, if you have cancer. Cancer cells growing in your body are the holy sons of God. It doesn't matter what it is. Every living thing is the holy son of God. And so to trust the holy son of God is a completely different thing than to trust an ego. And Jesus doesn't say trust any ego. You know, Jesus says trust the truth. trust the truth about what is here. And, you know, the truth is so often buried under, you know, it could be anything. It could be the way you look. It could be the way you talk. It could be your accent. It could be your hair or your whatever it is that you present as an ego human that is what I look at and decide that I don't like. And whatever that may be is all because of conditioning and rules and laws that were made in order to protect us from each other. And the rules and laws that we make to protect ourselves from each other are actually the barriers and the walls that keep us apart, just like you know, how we protect ourselves from being infected. If you have someone has a disease and they come to your house and you do not want to catch that disease, then you're going to do something to try to protect yourself. And usually that's keeping distance in some way or, you know, whatever it is that you do in order to try to keep yourself from catching whatever that other person has. Well, it's not just disease that we protect ourselves from. It's every part of the quote-unquote other that seems to be quote-unquote attacking us, either through breathing my air or passing me germs or saying thoughts that upset me or saying words that upset me. These are all things that I have put artificial barriers between myself and myself, and that's the reality of it. It's because to trust my brother is to trust the truth, to trust what I am, to trust the Christ mind that is in all of us, and to look only to the Christ mind that is in all of us. And it's all, like the lesson says, it's a matter of perception. It's a matter of perception, and I decide what it is that I perceive. If I want to perceive my brother as guilty, then he is guilty, guilty, guilty. If I want to perceive my brother as innocent, then he is sinless, sinless, sinless. That's my decision, always. And that reminder is what keeps bringing me back to the center, bringing me back to the center. No matter what I seem to object to, that reminder will catch a hold of me and say, wait a minute, this is not the truth. And really, the only thing you can do is trust the truth. That's why Dove, whenever he writes gotta laugh, he always puts three T's in the word gotta. Why is that? Because it's trust the truth. Trust the truth. If you trust the truth, then you can laugh. And these things will be funny to you because you will be seeing that there's nothing to protect yourself from. So I thank you so much for this this lesson and this teaching, Jay. And I just ask everyone, you know, to just today, just the next hour maybe, even spend some time trusting your brother and looking for the truth. And you will not, I guarantee you will not be plagued by the misgivings that seem to be so prevalent in the world about anybody, because you begin to see that everyone is here as a messenger from God, as a representative of the Christ, who is only here to be truly helpful. You'll actually begin to see that that's the truth. And when you see that that's the truth, then whatever they may say or do or how they act or how they look or anything about them is not going to be objected to, because you'll see that the only thing they're doing is acting their part in the screenplay. They're playing their part. It's a character. It's not a person. And the character is, you can trust the character to act just like the character is going to act. You can trust the ego completely. I totally trust the ego to be the ego and to act like the ego and to talk like the ego and to present itself as the ego, because that's its nature. But what you are and what I am, our nature is the truth. And so I can also trust what you are and what I am, because I know that that's completely 100% reliable too. You know, you have two totally reliable thought systems, and they will always do exactly what you ask them to do. So if you're seeing mistrust, guilt, fear, attack, it's because you asked for that. And if you're seeing truth and peace and love and justice, it's because you asked for that as well. And so thank you, Jay, for the topic, and turning the mic back to you.
Yeah, beautiful message, Lynn, and that's great. And the Dove just wrote on the board, everything is for you, nothing is against you. And that's the important thing to remember from reading the lesson today, from, you know, initially, kind of like Jim Dunn was just writing, the truth will set you free, but at first may piss you off. Just like the guy in the boat that got smacked with the ghost boat that didn't have anybody in it, it did piss him off first. But then, upon seeing that there was nobody in it, he corrected his perception, and he just began to laugh. And that's when he was free. So really, it's a process we move through of something coming up that does tweak the ego. And if you are dedicated and willing, you can actually then get to the root cause and see what it is. And if you're able to do it, not all are at all the time because they want to hold on to it, but you know, if you are able to let go of it, then you can have that freedom. And then everything, the state of mind that we've been discussing this morning, is what you will have. But it is up to you. We can at any point continue to delay this process or accept it right now. You know, so what I do, if I ever feel stuck, is I do the root cause analysis, and it immediately brings me to freedom because it shows me what it is that's behind what I'm stuck with, or whatever attachment it is. You got to just be open to, and I think there was talk about that, keeping your mind open to whatever it may be, you know, and that's what helps you get clear, is to just let yourself be informed by spirit as to what this block is that's coming up, and it really, nothing cannot be let go of if you're willing, with the help of spirit. And yes, when you pull a thorn out, when a thorn does get removed, it does hurt a little. There is pain when the thorn comes out, but it's temporary, because what follows is a greater feeling of freedom. You know, and that's really what the important point is that even after the thorn is pulled out in that temporary period of pain, this sort of transition process of going through that pain. And what the ego tries to sell us on is, of course, the avoidance of pain, right? So it tries to stop the process before we're willing to let the thorn be pulled out. It's like the hand is on the thorn starts to come out, oh, that hurts, oh, let it go, and then the thorn stays in there. That's 90% of the time what happens. But if you can just endure it a little bit, oh, it's painful. Oh, the thorn's coming out. Oh, and then let the thorn come out. Instantly the wound heals, because now you have clear perception and you're right back in that state. So whatever discomfort that occurs as the thorn's being pulled out, it's really worth it. It's really worth it to get to that place where you are in trust of your brother, to get to that place where we can feel the love and all of that. So that's where we shift our sight, right? We don't see the mistake anymore. We just see it as play, folly, innocence, you know? So, I'm feeling complete now, unless anybody has any thing they want to share. We have about 6 minutes left before we close up. If not, we can play some music. So I will turn it back over to you, Lynn. And love you all.
All right. Thank you so much, Jay. Beautiful service. And yes, I'm going to play a closing song. I want to remind people or let people know tonight, because we have the new Carrie Triffitt miniseries is starting at 9 p.m. Eastern. So from 8 to 9 after the 12 steps, and I know Regina's on vacation, so we'll probably be playing a recording of Regina. But I'm hoping to have a round table in the hour between 8 and 9 tonight. So if you want to show up tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, to have a discussion, roundtable discussion, please be here. I'm going to schedule roundtables basically anytime we have open times during these kind of prime hours. And it's about whatever it is that is on your mind. Roundtable, we go around, everyone has basically 3 minutes to say whatever they're thinking about or whatever is on their mind, and then we move on to the next person. We don't do any kind of analysis or diagnosis or judgment of what the people are saying. We just listen to them in love. And so it's a beautiful, beautiful thing that we do to just share spirit with each other. So 8 p.m. tonight, please join us, and then 9 p.m. for Carrie. So now I'm going to play a song, and it's about my Savior's eyes, my brother who is my Savior.
Sweet new rains they fall, a bright new sun does rise in my Savior's eyes, in my Savior's eyes. But you were always here. I cannot find my fear in my Savior's eyes, in my Savior's eyes. Savior's eyes, and you have finally come, but you were always here. I cannot find my fear in my Savior's eyes. Savior's eyes.